Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we are live out here at Pinewood Social in South Broadway. There's free parking, so don't worry about parking. They've also got a massive LED screen. They've got the Tennessee-Mississippi State game coming up that'll tip off here in the next couple of seconds, next couple of minutes. They've got great game day food. They've got frozen drinks. You see some frozen Irish coffees over there. D-Mace, you getting in the frozen spicy marks later?
Nah. Maybe. Depends.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Yeah, sit on that one. But it's a great vibe out here, so come hang out here at Pinewood Social. We'll have giveaways for the SEC tournament tomorrow and also to see Green Day in concert. So we'll keep you updated with that Tennessee and Mississippi State game. But when I was driving over here, I was listening to Calvin Ridley's press conference, and I thought, my goodness, a lot of honesty. There's a whole lot of openness in this press conference because we saw Lloyd Cushenberry and Jadobe Awuzie get introduced yesterday, and of course it was great to hear their stories and, you know, get acclimated to them, but it was a whole lot of what you would expect from an introductory press conference. I'm so excited to be here. Our goal is to win as many games as we possibly can. We want to bring a Super Bowl to Nashville, so on and so forth. Calvin Ridley's press conference, on the other hand, however, was not your most generic introductory press conference. First and foremost, he was asked, look, hey, Calvin Ridley, you're in free agency. You had several teams that were, you know, looking to get your services. The New England Patriots were in the mix. Of course, the Jacksonville Jags, his most recent team, was in the mix. So why come to the Tennessee Titans? This was Calvin Ridley.
Why the Titans? Why come here?
It's a new start. When I was going, you know, through the process of, you know, trying to evaluate the teams that I could possibly be with, I know that I have a certain type of skills, and so I'm not, you know, scared to go with the good or with, you know, who's trying to be good. So I think, you know, playing them twice a year, I was watching them and looking at, you know, the things they did have. I know that D-Hop's here, and I know that, you know, I want to play with another receiver on the other side that can, you know, help me, you know, do what I do best too. So I knew that they had that, and I knew they had a really good defense, and, you know, they were upcoming and stuff. So, I was looking into it, and, you know, I really wanted to honestly be with the Jags. But, you know, there was a lot of things that I wasn't working out for me. And then I think the Titans had that other side for me. So I chose the Titans. And obviously the money was pretty good. So I went with that, and, I'm here.
Honestly, kind of refreshing.
Yes.
Because we know why most free agents go anywhere, and it's for the money. And they say it's all because I love this city and this fan base and this team,
yada, and I believe in this coach.
No, you went who paid you the most money. And after all that from Calvin Ridley, honestly, the money was pretty good. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, but what I like about what he said, listen, I have a particular skill set that teams covet. And I want to play alongside, whether it's, you know, D-Hop and Treylon Burks or D-Hop or anybody else. I want to play alongside another receiver that can allow me to go out and play to my strength, because everything's not all of the attention is not on me. You got to pay attention to D-Hop. You got to pay attention to hopefully Treylon Burks, Chika Conquell. Guys like that. So I like that honesty from him. Like, listen, I understand that, you know, I understand that the skill set that I have, but my skill set, I can only flourish in my skill set if I have someone next to me or a group next to me that can also take some of the heat off of me.
Yeah.
Because he understands he can't do it by himself. You know, even though they're bringing him in, they're giving him number one receiver money. But just because they give you number one receiver money doesn't mean that always pans out. It must be a situation where it works best for both the player and the organization. And I think he picked this one, because of the money, yes. But then he gets to play alongside a future Hall of Famer in D-Hop. Hopefully a up and coming, and hopefully this is the year where Treylon can really, you know, take off. If that happens, along with what we could possibly get from the tight ends, this would be a perfect situation for him. because even though he is the he would become the lead dog, he doesn't have to carry the weight of being that lead dog, because you want some days it may be you, some days it may be D-Hop, some days it may be Traylon, but it's all helping me as the number one receiver as we move forward. And this is what I was screaming last year, like, that would have been a prime. Last year would have been great for Traylon if he would have stayed healthy. It would have been really good for D-Hop. Why? Because if you're the lead dog, you need someone that can take some of that pressure off of you when teams are double-teaming you, when teams are scheming for you. If you have that second guy that can go out and get the job done, eventually teams are going to have to play it honest. Mm-hmm. Teams didn't have to play it honest last year because Traylon wasn't on the field as much. And then when he was on the field, the Titans didn't target him. So everybody geared their coverage to D-Hop, and it made it harder for him as the season went on.
I'm just fascinated about mixing together, because I don't think the Titans, in my memory, have had two guys coming in that have accolades like Ridley and D-Hop playing together, right? You had a great mix with Drew Bennett, D-Mace, and that's the best 1-2 punch I can remember. But you guys had played together from the time Drew came into the league, right? You were established.
Yes.
He was the young guy, and you guys grew up together. But you've got Ridley, who is a force, coming in, making the money, which he made no secret about, and D-Hop, which was such a big headliner last year, right? Trying to fight with a young quarterback, finding the way that those guys blend together is going to be really something to watch. And I hope if it works, it looks like it could work really well. But I think there'll be some challenges there.
Yeah, there will be. And I do think it was – I couldn't help but laugh when he said, you know, I had the option to go to good teams that are trying to be good.
Well, the Titans are trying to be good. They want to be good.
When you're trying to be good, you're not good. So I think that was his way of saying, this isn't a very good team, but I can help you be good.
Yeah.
I also think there's another element there when he says, look, honestly, I wanted to go back to Jacksonville. First and foremost, I don't blame him. Mm-hmm. But I do think Calvin Ridley, and learning more and more about his personality over the last few days since the Titans have signed him, but I do feel like those two games against Jacksonville are going to mean a little bit more.
Oh, of course.
You're going to play a little bit harder. Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want. But, I mean, you want him to play hard for 17 games.
Of course.
But those two games are going to mean he's going to circle those games on the calendar.
Like when you played the Titans as
exactly.
a Raven.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, I knew that game was coming. I circled that game each and every time we played them. But it didn't detract me from going out there in the other, you know, at the time, 15 games and putting together or putting forth 100% effort. I think this is a really good situation for the Titans, and for this reason. Because I know a lot of people, you know, have counted Burks out, and I get it. I understand. I'm not going to argue whether you should count him out or not. But think about this. You have, let's just start with Ridley. You have Ridley wanting to prove something to everybody.
Uh-huh.
He wants to prove something to Jacksonville that they should have signed him. He wants to put aside all of this sort of baggage that he's had in the prior with the gambling and, you know, even though I don't, you know, from a mental health standpoint, I don't consider that. I'm not going to hold that against him. I'm not. But there are some people that will hold that against him. So you have that. And then, you know, him sitting out a year. So you have all that stuff. So he's coming in wanting to prove that he's a number one.
Yep.
And then you got D-Hop. D-Hop wants to prove that he still is a top receiver in this league. Hell, every chance he gets, he tells people, I still can get the job done, which he can. I'm not saying he can't. So he wants to prove that he still can play at a high level. And then you have Traylon Burks that wants to prove that he belongs in this league. You have three guys that wants to prove something this season to the Titans and to the NFL world that they can still play. That's the kind of room that I want. Guys that have chips on their shoulders, guys that want to prove something that year or prove something moving forward. To me, this is a perfect it's a perfect recipe for something good moving forward for this receiving group if it stays intact.
And you hope that comes to fruition. Mm-hmm. And if that's what fuels you, fine. Like, if that's what gets you out there and playing 115% every single Sunday, mm-hmm. fine. You know, like, whatever it is to unlock that dog. Because that's what you always talk about, mm-hmm. D-Maze. As a receiver, you kind of have to play with a chip on your shoulder. You have to play with a certain level of just grit. Mm. And wherever that comes from, I'll take it. Like, whatever helps you win football games, wherever it comes from, whatever fuels you, I'm going to take that. But we mentioned D-Hop and that relationship, that dynamic. Calvin Ridley was asked about that. This was Calvin Ridley on his relationship with DeAndre Hopkins.
What did you learn from DeAndre Hopkins, and did you know it before you signed him?
Yeah, I know D-Hop for sure. I train with him all the time. I could learn a lot, man. Someone has the consistent, you know, plays of his. He's just been really consistent his whole career. I mean, his catching, his routes, his just his mentality to be a dog and a real high caliber player. So, like I said, I train with him all the time. I have a bunch of conversations with him. I'm very excited to play with him.
Okay.
I really like hearing that. Because it sounds like he's coming in embracing the ability to play with a guy like him. And as you've said many times, D-Mace, I think D-Hop, I feel like D-Hop is to the point in his career where he's okay not getting the ball thrown to him 12 times a game. Right, and having to be the number one. I think he wants to be productive, and he probably realizes he can be more productive, just like Ridley was kind of saying. If I've got that really good guy on the other side of me, we're both going to be productive.
Yeah, it goes back to, you know, when in my later years, I think I might have been 34 at the time, and we, you know, made a move to get Anquan Boldin. It was – and Anquan came with his own, you know – on accolades himself, and he was the type of player that, you know, that at the time Baltimore needed, because I was sort of segueing out anyway, and me being an older player, I thought, like, at this point in my career, you know, do I want to be involved in the game? Yes, I do. Are they going to involve me in the game? Yes, they will. But it's all about winning now.
Yeah,
I'm to a point where, you know, and not to say I wasn't at that point in my younger years, but when you're young, you're trying to establish your stuff in this league. So you want the ball all the time. You want to go out there and prove that you can get the job done. But as you start to get older, you understand, like, listen, I need some help.
Do you think Ridley's at that point?
I think D-Hop is at that point. I can't say, because Ridley's still young.
He's
only played 5 seasons.
And that's the thing, is he's almost 30 years old.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have a ton
exactly.
of years, as many years as your typical 30-year-old NFL receiver would have.
Exactly. So, to me, I look at it from this standpoint. The person that I think will benefit from it a lot, other than, let's put Traylon aside, the person that will benefit is D-Hop, I think. Because now, again, yeah, I may not get 12 targets. But I think I said this last year, Willie, before he came in. I said he's going to average per catch more yardage, but it might end up with less catches. Even though they targeted him a lot, it may end up with less, least amount of catches, but the yards per catch is going to go up. And it did from the previous year when he was with the Cardinals. His yards per catch went up. I see that happening once again with Ridley and with D-Hop. The catches may, the targets are going to be spread out, but the yards per catch will go up for D-Hop, it will go up for Ridley, and it will either go up or stay the same for Traylon Burks, because they all will benefit from one another.
How do you see that dynamic working? Like, because I know that Ridley, for the most part, correct me if I'm wrong, he's been on the outside in Jacksonville, but he can play the slot.
Yeah,
okay. He's going to be on the outside.
Okay, I want to say this to everybody, because this is what I've heard the last couple of days since the signing of Ridley. Well, who's going to play slot? Who's going to play slot? Who's going to play slot? Anybody can play slot. Any one of those three slots. The slot is not like it used to be. We just don't line up with one receiver over here, one receiver in the middle, and one receiver outside the middle guy. We motion down into things. We create who's going to be the inside guy. You look at the inside guys are no, the slot guys are no longer 5'8". They're no longer Wes Welker. They're no longer 5'7". It's about matchups. If I can motion, look at Puka Nacua. He's not 5'7". He's not 5'8". Puka's 6'1", 6'2".
Is he that tall?
Yes, but they use him in the slot.
Cooper Kupp is six foot.
They use him in the slot.
They use Jamar Chase in the slot.
Exactly. It's all about how you use the individual. He don't have to. He don't have to. There's not a height requirement for the slot receiver. So people, stop saying that. Stop it. I'm tired of. I cringe as a receiver. I cringe because there's no height requirement on a slot receiver. We see that across the NFL. You don't have, again, you don't have to be 5'8", 5'7", and quick. They motion down to create slots. They motion down to create mismatches. If I am an offensive coordinator, I'm putting my best guy, and I'm motioning him down into a 3-by-1, and you're going to be the inside guy, and I'm going to create a mismatch because
so
you're
how
our
do you
best
see it
receiver.
Shaking out?
I see it shaking out 1 week if it stays status quo, meaning the receiving core as it sits now. Uh-huh. 1 week it'd be Traylon. 1 week it'd be D-Hop. 1 week it'd be Calvin Ridley. One series it'd be Calvin Ridley. One series it'd be D-Hop. Hell, one series it may be Chigakonkwo. We just don't know. This is not your traditional, oh, a slot guy. No. We motion. We create mismatches. I just want to create a mismatch. That's all I want to do. If you can play outside, you can play inside. If you can play inside, you can play outside. I just got to create a mismatch. That's all I need to do. My best receiver can be my slot receiver, and he could be 6'3". Go back to the Minnesota Vikings. Willie, you know this. The Minnesota Vikings, all their receivers, Randy Moss, Chris Carter, and who was the other one? Jake Reed. All of them
Jake
was
Reed.
Over 6'4". Every last one of them was over 6'4", and they all played the slot differently. It's about creating matchups. It's not about height requirement or quickness. Can I create
as
a mismatch? Okay.
As far as the matchups, too, I look at it on paper, and this is dangerous because it's only on paper. Mm-hmm. But
that's
if you take a look, they have the ability to create more mismatches than they have in a good while, mm-hmm. right? Now, when they had A.J. Brown and Corey Davis, I think they had that. Right, especially with the threat of Derrick Henry at all times being able to run the ball all the way down the field. By the way, on NFL Network yesterday, they showed the greatest victory of Vrabel's tenure, the win at Baltimore, to kind of showcase Derrick Henry. That was such an unbelievable game to rewatch.
I saw a bit
yesterday.
Of that game too yesterday.
Unbelievable. But because, I mean, Henry, man, he was something. But I think the idea is with Sharp and Pollard, you've got two good threats. With hopefully Okonkwo becoming a little bit more of a threat who could exploit a mismatch, and the two guys on the outside, and maybe a wild card in Burks. You got the ability on paper to create some mismatches if, A, the quarterback is good enough to find those guys, and, two, maybe more importantly, you could protect that quarterback.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Willie. As long as the quarterback has enough time to find those guys and he's not on his butt as he was very frequently this past season, that is also the key. Chig's an interesting one. Mm-hmm. I need Chig to hold on to the football. I know he looked better and he had flashes later in the season than he looked at the beginning of the season, but I need Chig to hold on to the football. All right, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Ask D. Mace coming up next, so get those questions in for Derek Mason. Again, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. We're live out here at Pinewood Social. Come grab food. Come grab drinks. And get an opportunity to win a pair of tickets to the SEC Tournament noon session tomorrow. Plus, to see Green Day in concert. Tennessee, Mississippi State is underway. We'll get you updates coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
In the field, and there he goes. 80 yard for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mace. Get those questions in for Derek Mason. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. And, of course, we are live out here at Pinewood Social in South Broadway. They've got a massive screen. They got the Tennessee game up. Down 22-14 to Mississippi State. Ron Slay there with a bedazzled Tennessee chain. Love to see that.
You know, how about those Bulldogs?
Not the start that I expected. The start that you're excited about, though, I'm sure, Nick.
Well, I'm ecstatic. Number 9 seed going to take down a number 1 seed today.
It can happen.
Heard it here first. Drinks, they've got food, they got the games on, and it's a great, great day here out on the patio, so come hang out at Pinewood Social.
And we've got the Sparty report here. Sparty's down 48-41 to the number 1 seed, Purdue. 12.5 minutes to go. And they're hanging. They're battling. It's tough to top Purdue. They're a really good team. Purdue just had one of their good players, Braden Smith, go down under the basket. Very shaken up and getting looked at right now. So that's a note of concern. A guy that shoots 45% from three-point range. He's one of their better shooters.
Well, you know what, Willie? I hope he can play for the tournament, like the NCAA tournament, but I hope he's out this game.
That wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt, right?
It wouldn't hurt us.
Yeah. Just saying.
All right, let's get into those questions for D-Mace. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you've got a question for D-Mace, but Adam in Portland is on the line. What's up, Adam?
Hey, D-Mace. So yes. I listened to that press conference. I know you did, too. I love Calvin Ridley. I loved everything about hearing him talk right there, the whole They didn't treat me like a man. They didn't talk to me like a man. I'm here to, you know, set the world on fire. He kind of reminds me a little bit of AJ in the sense that there's a chance he could cuss you out at any point, which I don't think this locker room really has that. Even if you see a guy that's like a mentally tough guy or a strong guy like Jeff Simmons, I don't think Jeffrey Simmons is going to cuss you out, but I think this guy could, and I think the locker room could use that. I just want to see what you think about that. Like, I feel like just talking to him, you don't know what to expect from him, but, like, I think the Titans bobbled that with AJ last time, and I think it could actually be a benefit this time.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Adam. Listen, I thought the Titans should have made this move 2 years ago when you could have got him for nothing, really, and you probably wouldn't have had to pay him the money you had to pay him this year. But – you know, that's in the past. They got him now. He's a hell of a talent. And they need, you know, because D-Hop seems more of the – he's going to lead, but it seems like he's more of the reserve leader. Like, I'm just going to go out, and I'm going to do my job, and I'm going to do it at a high clip, and you learn from that.
He seems low-key.
He's low-key, you know, low-maintenance.
Yep.
I just want to do my job. I just want to go play football. And you need those type of guys on your team. Lead by example, not necessarily be vocal with it. But, I mean, Ridley may be the opposite. He may be the vocal guy. He may be the rah-rah guy, but yet and still getting it done on the field. I think you can lead in both facets or both styles. You can lead, but I think you need to have sort of that yin and the yang in the locker room. You know, D-Hop would get riled up every once in a while, but you need somebody that's going to keep pushing people. And I think they got a good, from where they sit now, I think they have a good receiving room with guys that have done it in this league and guys that you are hoping that can really produce, really show the abilities they have as a receiver. So you have a good balance of what you got in your locker room in regards to your receivers right now.
And another texter texts in kind of along the same line, says, what kind of role model do you think Calvin Ridley could be for Treylon Burks?
He's a veteran. He's a guy that has been through, some ups and downs in his career. And it's early on. And, you know, he's learned from those. And, you know, you hope that he's, you know, has made football a priority. And Treylon can learn from guys like Ridley and guys like D-Hop. You know, D-Hop been in the league over 10 years. He's seen the good and the bad. You can learn from that. You can learn from Ridley. His short career, he's been through the good and the bad. So any opportunity you can to talk with those guys, pick their brains, watch them, how they not just – watch how they maneuver around the building. Just watch them, and you can learn a lot from that.
And also, I don't want this to be taken the wrong way. If Treylon Burks is going to learn from D-Hop or Calvin Ridley, I think it's going to be by osmosis. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be Calvin Ridley putting, you know, taking Treylon Burks under his wing and saying, okay, let me walk you through it. This is how we do things. This is how I do things. I think it'll be Treylon Burks observing those receivers rather than Calvin Ridley going out of his way. It sounds like Calvin Ridley's coming here doing his thing to win games and prove himself.
Exactly.
And if Treylon Burks can learn from that, great. But I don't think Calvin Ridley is necessarily coming in here and saying, let me teach you and shape you, young grasshopper.
Because Calvin
and that's
has.
Not a bad
yeah,
thing.
It's not a bad thing. Calvin has to learn. He was brought in here to be the number one receiver.
Yeah.
He has to learn the offense. He has to build a rapport with the quarterback. So to me, that's going to be his responsibility, learning as fast as he possibly can. But now it's up to somebody like Treylon to pick his brain, to continue to pick D-Hop's brain.
Yep.
You know, again, you know, working out with them and being around them. And if, even if you don't have a question, just watch how they maneuver in and out of huddles, in and out of the practice, I mean, in and out of meeting rooms, in the meeting rooms, in the locker rooms, in the weight rooms.
Yeah.
Watch how they maneuver around. You will learn a lot from that.
The onus is on Treylon Burks.
Yeah, it's on Treylon Burks 100%. And I think he understands that and knows it.
Robert in Spring Hill texts in and asks D-Mace, is there anybody left out there in free agency that you think is a must-have that the Titans have got to get in order to make them better right now?
The linebacker is still out there, or has he signed?
Which one?
The one they were bringing. The one they brought in yesterday. They brought him in for a visit. Gosh,
Jerome Baker?
Yeah, Baker. Is Baker still out there? If he is, then that would be someone that would upgrade the Titans' defense. Other than that, they
need signed, but
yeah,
he's still taking visits.
Exactly.
To
a safety, whether it's Simmons or someone else, that would be an upgrade for the team. So there are one or two guys. If you're talking about immediate starters, those are two guys I believe that can come in and upgrade. But they're always going to be looking to make the team better. And making a team better doesn't always mean we got to get a starter. It means somebody got to play special teams. We got to have some backups. So that also makes the team better as well.
It's pretty remarkable how much they're spending in the free agent market right now.
And it's money that they have.
Yeah.
And money that they needed to spend. Because I heard a lot of Titans fans saying, you know, the Titans overpaid for Calvin Ridley.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to free agency.
It's what happens.
It's what happens. And if that's what you have to do to get him in the building, then that's what you got to do. He just told you why he came here.
The money. Show me the money.
Show me
But Titans fans, what were they saying before then, Willie and Caroline? The Titans ain't spending no money. Spend the money.
Oh, and then they spend money.
Exactly.
Now,
and then they spend
so
the
I'll
money.
Give them credit for
and now people
money.
Are saying, well, that was too much for Calvin Ridley. You can't have it both. You can't say spend the money and then say, no, that's too much.
That's why Rand Carthon is not listening to the fans.
Exactly.
Or should not listen to the fans, I should say. Another texter asked D-Mace, how long do we have to wait before we can honestly say that Burks was a bad pick?
I don't know. I don't, you know, if he's no longer on the roster within the next year or so, then you can say it was a bad pick. But you know, this is a tough one for me again. I'm always honest when I assess players, whether they're an older player, younger player, whether they've done things in the league or they haven't. And I look at Treylon, and he has immense talent, and I'm waiting for him to take that talent and let it flourish on the field. He hasn't done it yet, and his time is running out. But that doesn't mean that he can't. He got to understand that. Just because it hasn't worked the way you wanted it the first couple of years doesn't mean it can't work this year. The way I talk about Treylon Burks and why I am so passionate about this, Willie, you would know this. It's because I went through the same thing that Treylon Burks went through. You know, I wasn't a first-round pick by no means.
Oh, yeah.
But working your way through the system, knowing that you can play, but yet and still them bringing in other guys, them not truly giving you an opportunity to go out there and showcase. And when you did, when they did, you did what they've asked you to do. But yet and still, they decided to bring in this guy, they decided to bring in that guy, and that pushes you further and further down the depth chart without being given a true opportunity. I know people look at it and say, well, he had some last year. Not really, because even when he was in the game, they were not throwing him the ball. So much so that I'm sitting here complaining about them not targeting him. Then the head coach gets on air or during one of his press conferences and says, oh, we don't do that. The hell y'all don't? Y'all doing it with D-Hop, so don't tell me you don't do that. But then the next following game, he does it. He targets him purposely in that game, the first quarter. And then they went away from him the second quarter, third quarter, and the fourth quarter. You can't allow a receiver like that to float, because if you're not targeting him and you're not making him a part of the game, he will eventually float because he feels like, I'm not a part of the game. But, this is a prime opportunity for Treylon. Just because they went out and got Ridley, just because they went out and got D-Hop last year, doesn't mean you don't have a place on this roster. Doesn't mean you don't have a place in that receiver room. And he has to remember that. Take what you want. Don't expect them to give it to you. Take it. It's a competition. It's a healthy competition within that receiver room. It's a healthy competition, but it is a competition. Make no mistake about that. So you go in there with that attitude.
And that's what the Titans are doing. Look, we got to build this receiver room around you. Mm-hmm. And if you take that as disrespect, use it as fuel.
Yeah, you can't take it as disrespect. You just take it as, listen, now I have to create my own lane. Now I have to create my playing time, you know.
A little bit of breaking news.
Yes.
Mike Vrabel is headed to the Cleveland Browns as a coaching and personnel consultant. You know where Cleveland is close to.
Wow.
Columbus.
Columbus.
Yeah. Mike Vrabel to Ohio State.
He's almost there.
He's close.
Joe Retro is half right.
He was yesterday.
He's in Ohio.
Good for Vrabel.
Intriguing move, though. Intriguing move.
But to me, a move like that is made because you want to stay. You don't want to be forgotten.
He probably has experienced the last month or so of fun employment.
Yeah.
Says, look, I want to be in football.
Yeah, because he's a football guy.
And he's getting paid.
Exactly.
So, I mean, like, this is just I want to be around football. I want to stay in the league. To your point, I don't want to get forgotten. And I want to be a football coach.
Exactly.
So, good for Vrabel. We'll get back into your questions for D. Mace coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Here's a little bit of an update. Tennessee's down 32-18 to Mississippi State with 2:45 left in the first half.
Make it 34, Caroline. Make it 34.
Oh, I would pay to be a fly on the wall in that locker room to hear whatever kind of halftime speech is going to happen for the Tennessee Vols. I mean, my goodness. You can tune into 93.3 Classic Hits today as MTSU basketball takes on Western Kentucky in the Conference USA Men's Basketball Tournament. Pregame at 1:30, tip-off at 2 p.m., with coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3classichits.com. We'll get back into those questions for Team Mays. We're live out here at Pinewood Social. They've got the Tennessee-Mississippi State game on, which Mississippi State leads Tennessee 34-18. Tennessee shooting 10.5% from three. 2 for 19 from three.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got three words for everybody. March, Rick.
Uh-oh. You're going there now.
So it's the opposite of Izzo, right?
Willie, 10% from three? That's all I got to say.
That's not good.
The only way they're going to get back in this game is they play good defense. That's the only way, because they can't hit the broadside of a barn right now.
It'll come around. I feel like the law of averages, they're not that bad of a shooting team. They'll start to hit some. Meanwhile, in the Big Ten tournament, Derek Mason's always scrappy Michigan State Spartans standing toe-to-toe with Purdue. It is a really good competitive game. They cut it to three a couple times. It's now a 5, but they just missed a tight shot that would have cut it to 52-49. 7.5 minutes to go. They're battling against Edie. It's really fun to watch because you know Michigan State will compete. These two teams don't like each other. It's always a tough competition, but Purdue has been leading throughout, but Michigan State's right with them.
All right, let's get back into those questions for D-Mace. Greg is on the line with a question for D-Mace on the Calvin Ridley move. What's up, Greg?
Hey, and Hail State, put it on Tennessee. I thought that line was fishy because State, I was at the game in Starkville. They beat Tennessee this year, so it's not a surprise to me. And it's not the worst thing in the world if Tennessee falls to two line. They don't have the pressure, as much pressure. But I was going to ask the great D-Mace, do you think they overspent a little bit on Mr. Ridley, $50 million guaranteed? He's an upgrade, and you hurt a rival by taking him away. I see, like with the Bears, basically got Keenan Allen for a fourth-round pick or something. Would you have been surprised if they could have done a move like that now? And now I think you got to worry about what the Chargers do at five. If they're going to take the tackle, or now, since they lost Keenan Allen, are they going to get one of the two stud receivers? Of course, I like Caroline's guy. I got Neighbors. If they got him there, even if Brian Thomas is available in the second round, I think those are upgrades there to receivers. But y'all, you guys doing a good job, and Hail State, put it on them Big Bad Vols. Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate it, Greg. Enjoy the game today.
I don't think they overpay. And then what do we say when free agency started? And you would bring this up every time, and you were right, Caroline. Listen. It's the Titan tax. You're going to have to overpay just a tad bit to get an individual. You don't have to grossly overpay, but if someone's offering 47, then you offer 50, and it sort of offsets it.
Sweeten the pot with the non-contender tax.
Exactly. So I don't think they overpaid, at least right now. Now, if we get into the season the next year or two, if things don't pan out, we can always go back to, maybe that one was a little bit of a reach. But basing on his history, from what I've seen, his first year to his second year and to his third year, he got better as a receiver each and every year. If you just look at the numbers. And then, obviously, he had the gambling and the mental health thing. But he picked up right where he left off once he was able to play a full 17-game season. So I don't think it was a overpay per se. It was just you had to pay a little bit more than what probably New England was going to pay, and definitely what Jacksonville was going to pay.
It's okay to overpay.
Yeah.
You're not going to overpay for everybody.
Exactly.
But that's what you have to do in free agency.
It's okay if you get some production. It's like the Christian Kirk, right? It's okay to overpay, but that player has to be productive.
And we were all making fun of the Jags for making that move at the time. Now looking back, it's like, well,
that was a good move.
Pretty good move on your part.
Uh-huh.
All right, another texter texts in, asked D-Mace, do you feel good with Chig as tight end one?
Yeah, I do. He and Wiley, I think they still need to bring a veteran guy in because that's just a lot of youth at that position. But I think Chig, the way he finished the season, and he had his issues at the beginning of the season. It was chronicled. We all know him. But there was a point during the season last year where it seemed like the light switched on, and he started to play the way that we saw him play the first part of his rookie season. So I think he can be tight end number one, but I still do believe you have to bring a veteran guy in. Because again, that's just a lot of youth in that tight end room.
Just more options. Chig was unreliable last year.
Yeah, for half of the season. It was close to half of the season. He was dropped a lot of balls. Well, dropped too many. Let's say that, not a lot, but he dropped too many. But he picked it up when he needed to. So You know, but I'm good with him as tight end number one. I am.
I wouldn't give up on him. I was about to, and I thought the last four or five games he really looked more comfortable. I still think he looks a little awkward as he accepts the ball. He doesn't look natural. You know, those. You know, sometimes you just watch a guy catch the ball, you're like, man, that guy's got silky hands. I have never said that about Chig because he's a loud runner. He's a loud catcher, right? It's not fluid, but he showed me enough in the last four or five games. I'm not giving up on him yet.
Not giving up on him. I think it's a position that you can upgrade if you see an upgrade available, but I think it's absolutely a position that needs to be addressed in some form or fashion to give you depth, to give you more options. And if Chig doesn't take that next step forward, then you need a guy to be that number one that you can rely on. Tennessee, Mississippi State has just gotten to the half. Your halftime score is 36-19.
Ball fans.
It's uncomfortable. Excuse me, 38-19. It's uncomfortable.
Do y'all hear that, like, cowbell ringing in the distance? Y'all hear something?
Go ahead, talk your talk.
I mean, I'm just saying. I thought I heard something in the background there.
Nick, we got two halves here, okay?
You're right.
Remember that.
I'm all about two halves here. I don't mind talking a little talk here. It's going to be a very tight second half, but I feel pretty good right now.
This is a test for Mississippi State to see if they can continue this level of play.
Uh-huh.
Because I'd be nervous that they go into halftime, go into the locker room, their heads get big, we're up 20 against the number one team in the conference, we can go out there and skate. Tennessee is going to be making some halftime adjustments. Mississippi State has to hope that they can at least hold on to it, but man, what a great first half from the Bulldogs. All right, a couple more questions for D-Mace. Wes in Clarksville texts in. Says, is there any other left tackles later in the draft? I really want the tight end from Georgia, Brock Bowers. How do you feel about Brock Bowers at 7?
I'm not going to say he wouldn't be a great added addition, but that's not a position of need. It really isn't. And if you have if the left tackle is there or another wide receiver is there, then I think you go that route. I don't think you go the tight end route. I would be really surprised. And when I mean surprise, I mean like a kid on a Christmas surprise.
Yeah.
If they went out and drafted Bowers. A really good player, don't get me wrong. But that's not a position of need right now for the Titans.
They've got to have a left tackle. Come on.
Yeah.
I would call tight end a position of need.
It's not a position of need where we got to have Bowers. Yeah.
Not like left tackle.
Like you got to have, like we got to draft, you know, Bowers in the first round. We have to. Now, if you want to draft a tight end in the fourth or fifth round, then go ahead. Be my guest, even though I don't think you should do it then. But I'm not wasting my first round pick on a tight end.
But it's Brock Bowers.
But
he's
it does
not a
nothing
tight
for
end.
Me. It does nothing for me.
He's different than a tight end.
I understand that, but
it definitely does something for
no,
you.
No, it in the big scheme of things, it does nothing for you because you still have to address a position that's a true problem that will depend on whether your quarterback stays upright or not.
And I would agree that it seems like the clearest and best path for the Titans finding their left tackle is in the first round with the 7th pick if Joe Alt or an Olufashinu is there. Mm-hmm. But I do get nervous of kind of handcuffing yourself to one position in the draft.
Yeah, I get that part.
Brock Bowers is expected to be a George Kittle, Travis Kelce kind of impact tight end.
Yeah, and the way the NFL is now, you need one of those type tight ends. But they also need a left tackle that can be the starter for the next decade. They need that more than they need a tight end.
They need a lot of things.
Yeah.
All right, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Appreciate everybody for getting those questions in for D-Mace. So yesterday.
Sparty's down four, D-Mace. Sparty's down four.
I know.
Four timeout. They're chipping away.
Ooh, big day for all the states out there.
It's a back alley brawl. You'd love it, D-Mace. I'm watching it. I'm in the trenches with the Spartans right now. We're battling one of the top teams in the country.
I like it. Willie says he's in the trenches with the Spartans. Let's go.
I got to jump on somebody's bandwagon.
All right, coming up next. We spent a lot of time yesterday talking about the Calvin Ridley signing. Very rightfully so. But the Titans made another move on Wednesday. that I think is incredibly important and should not be overlooked. And how do we feel about it? And what did Tim say yesterday that maybe could have changed my perspective about that signing? We'll get into that coming up next. We'll get back into your phones. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are broadcasting from Pinewood Social, located at 33 Peabody Street in Nashville, for Pinewood Madness Patio SEC Watch Party presented by Guinness. Worth the wait. Come showcase your arcade skills, because not only are we watching games out here at Pinewood Social, there's also six lanes of modern retro bowling alley. There's a fun, super nostalgic experience that's perfect for groups of any size. Reserve a lane for you and your friends today at PinewoodSocial.com. Within the next hour, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to tomorrow's SEC tournament games in the first session. So get out here to Pinewood Social. You must be present to enter those tickets. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.